Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo.
And tonight is Friday, so it's Friday night with George Dixon. And if I'm correct, we're going to talk about the year 1965 and how it relates to today.
Yeah.
Because we're in about the same position on the Mayan calendar. So let me talk a little bit about some of the events that happened in 1965. In 1965, there was the India-Pakistani War. It seems that India and Pakistan are still having issues.
Yeah, 1965. The Beatles, USA tour, started at Shea Stadium and so on.
And they were on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that was 64, though. Cause Shea
oh,
Stadium,
really?
I'm not sure. Shea Stadium was in 65.
Oh.
And, boy, I'm done.
They had a ton of people there,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. In fact, let me, you know what?
Well, put in Ed Sullivan Show, Beatles, and see what year that was.
Okay.
And then you'll be able to tell. Also, in 1965... was the first close-up pictures of Mariner 4 in Mars.
Yeah.
And aren't we still talking about that sort of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of are. Oh, you know what? That's not what I wanted, but...
I need somebody help, not just anybody.
Yeah. 1965.
It's 1965 in the Beatles.
It's raining here like cats and dogs.
Did you miss our live from Shea Stadium Beatles concert?
No, I heard it. I heard it on my remote here as I was coming into my study.
Yeah,
I was out of my patio set up.
Yeah, you said to concentrate on 1965, which is for the
comparable time for the Mayan calendar.
Right, the time that we're experiencing now is 1965, so it's 1965 all over again.
Well, we took a look at the Beatles at Shea Stadium in 1965. Also, the India-Pakistan War was in 1965.
Okay.
And we're still going. It was still going strong with that. What else is on there, Leo?
Oh yeah, the first close-up pictures of Mars were taken by Mariner 4.
Mariner 4.
Yeah. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing.
'64. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, but you know the funny thing is, what is it? 40 years since Apollo 11. It's been 40 years now since that was 69, right?
Yeah.
Was it in 69 we went to the moon or 68?
No, I think it was 69.
69, yeah.
I think 69, yeah. Martin Luther King was also arrested in Selma, Alabama.
In 1965,
right. That was, that was a big move in the civil rights movement.
He was arrested, when was he arrested in Birmingham?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
It must have been, because he wrote the letter from the Birmingham jail.
Jail, yeah,
and
that was a significant letter.
That was a great letter. In fact, I was thinking of reading that on the show next week because of this racial issue.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a copy of that. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But what did I want to tell you?
Well, there's another.
Yeah, The Sound of Music was that year.
That's right, Sound of Music.
Yeah. Guess what other big one? Big movie came out.
My Fair Lady.
No.
I think it won an Academy Award that year.
Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, Dr. Zhivago. Wow.
Yeah.
That brings back things, doesn't it?
And here's
all civil rights.
You might get a kick out of this. The Spy Who Came in from the Cold. You remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good movie. And Agony and the Ecstasy with Charlton Heston, remember? He played, that was a big movie. He played the Michelangelo.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that movie?
Okay, I remember the face.
Yeah, he painted the Sistine Chapel.
Right.
Charlton Heston.
American son of a gun, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, and you know he did that, and somebody did, it was not the one, the greatest story ever told.
Right? Yes.
That one came out, too.
Is that right? 1965.
Yeah, that was the Jesus movie, too.
Right.
Yeah. And then there was
Max
two
Bond.
Others, a few others that came out that I didn't know,
yeah.
but... Well, I did know them, but a lot of them came out that year. But the ones that I remembered, remember Sons of Katie Elder?
It was a
Cowboy
John
Wayne movie.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big hit.
Now, what else happened besides
and
the
then,
movie?
And then Von Ryan's Express, and that I think that one was with Frank Sinatra.
That's right.
All right, and then you remember Cat Ballou?
That's right,
yeah,
Lee Marvin.
Lee Marvin?
Lee Marvin. Right.
Yeah, remember,
Lee Marvin.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
that. Remember
that
couple? Yeah. And what's her name was in it, too, I think, Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she was in that, too. But Cat Ballou.
That was
and,
a great movie. That was Nat King Cole was in that also.
What?
In fact, Nat King Cole died that year.
Oh, really?
That's right, 1965.
He was in that movie?
That's right. He was a banjo player, along with the old-time...
Yeah,
40s kick around in the movies.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one, which I remember really well, because I saw it many years later, but I remember the movie, is called The Sandpiper, and that was with Elizabeth Taylor and
Richard Burton.
Hmm.
They were on an island, and they were in this huge mansion that was built on this island, and it was kind of a... I don't know if it was a foreign movie. It might have been a foreign movie, but it was.
Richard Burton is born.
No. But yeah, I think it might have been an Italian movie or like a foreign movie, foreign director.
Oh, okay.
Foreign director, and it might have been a foreign studio.
Now was that
as well.
Was that before Cleopatra or after?
That was. I think that was after.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember when Cleopatra came up?
No, I don't know what you're referring to.
So anyway, let's move on from movies. Those were all movies. What else happened?
Well, another T.S. Eliot died that year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And Adlai Stevenson did.
Oh, no kidding.
Along with Winston Churchill.
Oh,
wow.
Interesting.
A lot of deaths that year.
But following the Civil Rights Movement, Malcolm X was shot in Harlem.
That's right.
And, of course, we had the Watts riots, where, you know, over 100 people, 1,000 people were injured, 34 died, 4,000 arrested.
Yeah.
But if nothing else, it was a time of civil rights.
I remember that well, too. Mm-hmm. I remember them on TV.
And now we're having Obama bring the black professor and the white policeman.
We got civil rights again.
Yes.
To the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference being that we have a black president, which is remarkable, considering that was, 45 years ago, right?
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So 44 years ago. But it's amazing that you see the civil rights movement like that. But again, the other thing that it was 64, 65 was Johnson's war on poverty, remember?
Yes.
His big welfare program initiative, and then
Obama is trying to have health care.
But in '63 was JFK's assassination.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean,
1965 was first the American troops arrived in Vietnam.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, it was.
There you go. So I mean, it's all of these. These are all things that have happened.
And a lot of protests going on.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the beginning of a lot of protests.
Yeah, it didn't get to the head until about 66, 67, mm-hmm. 68. But still.
This is just part of the times that they were experiencing.
Yeah,
now, with the Mayan calendar, what these things are doing is they're coming back to us, and we're dealing with them for the last or a second time.
Right.
Yeah.
But how it's going to be interesting to see how we handle this. Because the last time it took years to get things into legislation and so forth, and
right.
With the civil rights changes, where do you think it's going to go from, go to from here?
Do you remember the problems that Johnson had trying to get his package, that war on poverty package that he
mm-hmm.
he did? Now, that had affirmative action in that. It had all kinds of stuff
going on.
Well,
he did a better
job
on domestic policy than he did on foreign policy.
Oh, yeah. But the problem with him was, his is no different than what Obama's trying to push down our throats now, basically. All right? But, remember how huge, that was the biggest welfare program ever in this country, okay? Even
mm-hmm.
before the big deal, you know, the New Deal.
But it was successful.
Well, to some degree, we went on to
do well as a country after that.
To some degree, it was, but what it was the riots and everything else,
mm-hmm.
and the assassinations, the upheaval. He had to get something through right away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he had to, and otherwise the country was ready to have a revolution.
Well,
let's do this. Let's try to pump it up a level. Pump it up a level, and of course, right now, the options that we have are the same old options. This is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think what we have to do is go above this and deal with the real facts, not hide it or veil it. Even though there's been a hell of a movement in civil rights in this country, but in some areas of the South, a black and white are two different populace, and it's something that we still have among us, but it's. It's easing up a bit,
but I think honestly, I mean, the strides that were made, which I think are very real.
They're real, but they weren't good enough.
No, they weren't. They weren't, George. You're right.
And even the other day, reading in a paper where the president talked about the NAACP, and it's a shame in a sense that we still need organizations like this. Because if nothing else, is bringing that separation closer to a unity. But
right.
I think now's the time where we've gone through that. People know it. So let's dissolve that, and let's not make an issue of separateness other than just let it evolve. There was a movie a while ago, The Layers of Heaven, where part of the evolution of man is that we all changed. We had this same colored skin, hair, and so forth, and it was a genetic change where we incorporated all these different races into one race. And who's to say, you know, that we can't, if nothing else, start acting like that instead of waiting for it to happen? Because once we put it in motion, it will happen, and we will change. But, I, you know, I'm looking at alternatives, just like here we are at a point where we can evolve, but we can also straddle new zones of consciousness and of experiences that, you know, we'll raise our levels of understanding, if nothing else. This is the same with the same thing with money. Part of this 6 day now is breaking down of the financial system and rebuilding again, or rebuilding some kind of a system we could follow. But understand, there was an evolution that it went through, and first it was the banks, and then basically it was the dollar bills, and the dollar bills that went to credit cards, and now it's just digits in a computer.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's eliminating, you know, the old way and finding new ways, and that's what we've done. But I think we have to do something to have people or make them understand that there is no separations in us. We're all one, and we all pump blood like one another. And you know, I don't know. What do you think, Leo? I'm just dabbling on here.
Yeah. Well, no. I can understand what you're saying, but. What I'm looking at here, if I look at 1965, what remarkable technological and moral strides we've made, I think we've made in this country in the 40 years, all right? And I'm looking back, and I'm proud to look back 40 years and say, crying out loud, we went from that with Martin Luther King in jail and Malcolm X assassinated.
Yes.
To the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of that as an American.
So that's a big leap forward.
And I'm proud of that as an individual who believed in civil rights and believed in freedom, you know, for everybody, and believed in the Constitution. That made a lot of sense to me, and that made a lot of sense to see that happen. But being in it in the media for the last 10 years, on television and radio, and reporting on these different cultural events, different celebrities, different news events and wars and so on, I found myself to be of course been jaded, much more jaded, in when I look at it from a moral standpoint. But when I look at it from a technological standpoint, I am just like floored, you know, beyond belief, and just you know, very hopeful that we can catch up morally to the challenge, you know, and that's where we're at now. I mean, everything hinges on a dirty deal. I mean, if the lobbyists pay off Obama and the boys enough, you know, you're gonna see a horrible botched health plan, if you see one at all, and. You know, you're going to see that the more we bail out these goddamn banks, you know, you're looking at a possible second stimulus coming up next year. Okay, that's going to throw us $1 trillion into debt. All right, as well, even though we're lending this money to the damn banks.
Well, my feeling is we're giving banks welfare. I don't see any reason why we can't. Have our socialism. I don't see any reason why we can't have healthcare socialism.
Well, actually,
benefit from it.
No, the deal that we've made, from what I can tell, and I read this last week, I believe, or the week before, is that Bernanke and the Fed have made a deal with the United States government that they would issue the money without any interest. So in other words, it's just, you know, issued and straight back. We don't owe any money, any interest on it. We're just paying back with note. All right, but
we're in effect bailing them out.
Well, we're bailing them out, which is absurd. All right, the fact that we have to pay them back anything, all right, is beyond me. All right, since all that money is being circulated back to them again, so it's like it's just a complete and utter mind. I'll bleep the word.
That's right.
The it's a cluster, you know. And it's just not, there's nothing going on here. It's just you're just borrowing the money to pay the borrower back.
That's right. Where do you think this is going to lead to, or when do you think this is going to happen?
It's because as people start to catch up and start saying, "What the hell are we doing?" All right.
Well, they are starting to say that.
And they're starting to look and say that, you know, this guy, this Obama, is off his nut, all right. And so if he thinks that, you know, his plan, go for a plan, which makes no sense to anybody financially, or doesn't make anybody make any sense politically to anybody.
Well, I sense what he is saying is, trust me for this health care, pass the plan. And it'll take a long time to work it out.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's saying.
Let's just get something done, and then we can work out the details later. No good.
That's what he's
not
saying.
Not a good idea, because if you leave it open-handed, it becomes like the bailout, where they just gave the damn $750 billion to the banks and said, here you go, you know? And then we don't even know what the hell he did with it, all right? It's just totally...
Well, I want health care for everyone. Yeah. I'd like to have single payer.
But the reason I harped on this a little bit is because I just wanted to draw it back to what Johnson was doing during his war on poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 65 and 66. I can't remember when he got it approved. I think it was 65.
He did a lot with domestic legislation.
Well, the great things that came out of that, and I can tell you some really great things that came out of that were the Job Corps,
mm-hmm.
right?
Job Corps.
Where they trained kids and trained adults for jobs, and a lot of people made out very well on that. They were able to support themselves for a year while training, you know. They got into programs.
And they still have those centers around the country.
Community colleges that just increased. The Obama budget just gave community colleges a huge amount of money.
It was around that time I learned a new word in my vocabulary.
What?
Welfare.
Welfare, yeah.
And the programs, the programs that were set up.
It
became a lifestyle, and it changed our society or the way we live tremendously. And that was there's advantages and disadvantages, but a lot of the poor were able to take advantage of that. And that became a lifestyle and a way of life.
That's right.
It was basically one big handout. And that ran into problems later on, but,
But that was...
That was part of that.
Yeah, but see, those people who were there were starving to death.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They were, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were starving to death because there was nobody willing to give them a hand up or teach them anything. You know, it's just a horrible condition. And unfortunately, a lot of that is still there today, you know. And I guess I can understand the rage of the professor, all right,
mm-hmm.
after all, you know.
The Cambridge Harvard professor.
Right. Over this issue that where he got arrested at his house, you know what I mean? But I think I can understand his rage for wanting to stand up for 1,000 years of abuse, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this poor cop was responding
to his experience
to a 911 break-in, a call from a neighbor.
Right.
It said two black guys were at this door and trying to break into the front door.
Yeah.
And, so what's your first response? Well, you think, well, maybe they're armed, you know what I mean?
That had attempted break-ins before.
Right, because this guy's not there all the time. And
right.
He travels a lot. The house is vacant a lot. So anyway, the thing that made it funny, though, was what put the cop in that position. I don't care if you're black, white, or in between. Okay, you start giving lip to a cop, all right?
Yeah.
When all he's trying to do is just figure out what the hell is going on.
That's right.
You know, then you put yourself at a point of, you know, you're crazy, buddy. You know, you're over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he arrested him for disorderly conduct. And there was a black guy a black officer, black policeman, who was there. And I just saw him tonight. He testified, and he said publicly that they asked him, and he said, did he do everything in your mind right? And the guy said, absolutely, he did. He says, I stand behind him 100%. And that was the black officer that was
standing
involved,
behind his colleague,
involved with the arrest.
But yeah. You know, if you look at the what happened, the situation, black men, white men, black men. There's a president who is talking about it. I mean, when have you ever known of a United States president talking about issues like this?
Never.
Personally, no, right. You've never.
Oh,
well,
yeah, but
he was asked at a press conference, and because of his own history, because he's black, he was probably very close to his emotional surface.
He
responded to it.
And this guy Gates was his mentor in Harvard, you know.
Well, look what destiny did here, and take a look at how things are moving right now.
Right.
Right now, it's being exposed and brought to the surface again.
Yeah.
So you know.
They've both been invited to the White House, something that wouldn't have happened in 1965.
God no.
And people are talking about it publicly, which is good.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing. It's not being hushed up or swept under the rug. People are going to talk about it. And they're going to come.
When was the Rosa Parks thing?
When was she arrested?
Oh, that was much earlier, I think, 63,
62. 50 what? 63, 62. Yeah, it was in the 60s, right?
Yeah, I think it was the early 60s, yeah.
Okay.
I could look at my notes and go back to when we talked about it.
The park would probably, they would tell me here, but probably in the early 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all of this stuff happened then. And
so in that area, we have come further.
Yeah.
Ahead.
Well, if nothing else, we've started a new turn in the topic, and
right.
That's what's being brought out right now, and this is just something that follows natural rhythm. And the rhythms of what we're to experience on the sixth day is the experience that we experienced on the last sixth day, which ran from 1951 to 1972, I think, or 71. So what we're experiencing now is a rehash of what we went through, but we're doing it much faster. We're cramming 20 years into 1 year. And
that's right, because
the day that we're looking at is 1965 out of those years.
That's right. That's
so
right.
This is just, you know, it's just coming to the surface again. But what I will say is that in following what you said before about the economy, you know, maybe next year and so forth, we'll be able to take care of this. But the problem is that we're on a deadline. We're past the deadline, and things are coming to a head.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Mayans talk about this time, and this is between now and November the 12th, I believe it is, or the 5th. Starting the new day period, or new night period.
Night period.
And that's when the crumbling that we're hearing right now is going to crash, but
right.
It's the time that we're going to rebuild anew. What we're doing now is seeing it for what it is, and, you know, if nothing else, make plans to change our view or our way of things. So when we rebuild, we can incorporate, you know, this new understanding into
right.
that new system, if you'd want to call it that.
Yeah.
But understand that there's no way to save what's going on. The economy, it's gone. It's not only in this country, it's throughout the whole world. Our way of viewing wealth and so forth has to change, and that's what we're experiencing. So, you take a look at the changes right now with these businesses, people out of work. You know, it's not something that's going to last another year or 2 years, because you have to put food on the table for your family. And this is where somebody's going to have to step up to the plate and allocate something, you know, in relief of this. I mean, shit, we're giving how much money in defense budgets, you know, $300 billion?
No, we're looking at $515 billion.
All right, so let's take $120 billion of that and give everybody, you know, a gift certificate. They could take Ma and Pa to IHOP or Denny's. You know, what the hell? We have the money. They have the money to spend on this stuff that destroys.
Everybody like could have about 100. Everybody in this country could have about $100,000. Right.
Well,
money they spend every year on that.
But the focus has got to change, or the priorities have got to change, and the illusion that these people have held in front of us is dissolving, or it's being exposed for what it is, and that's all it is one big illusion.
Yeah.
And, you know, also the Mayans talk about, on a personal level, this is a time where we would recognize the illusions in our life for what they are, and see that these illusions are our own. We attract and draw them to ourselves because we experience our reality, our illusions, delusions.
So we're in an illusion now. We can see our illusion.
They say now is a time where nothing is real and everything is real.
Yeah.
Just like photographs of us going to the moon. You know, we don't have any proof now that we went there. So did we go or didn't we go?
That was a joke.
Well, they lost the original tape, though. Wasn't that convenient?
They say they lost it, but you see, with the budget cuts and so forth, what the hell? They just grab an old VCR tape and throw it in and tape over it. That's what they did.
They did. No, I don't think so. I think
yes, they did.
It was so full of holes that they had to, because it was just so full of holes. Because I saw a movie based on that. It wasn't a movie, it was a documentary. And Lila and I both saw it. It was amazing. I mean, it was 2 hours.
It pointed out all the things that were wrong with the...
Everything that didn't make any sense whatsoever.
That trip to the moon.
The thing that really surprised me so much was when you looked at the actual design of the spacecraft there.
Yes.
The Apollos. They were just this little...
Tin can
that got put, that got
thrown into space,
thrown out there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
no
like,
way it could have gone through that.
And they said it.
They said it
wouldn't have. These guys would have been toast, all right, going at that rate of speed through space, all right. It just didn't make any sense to them at all, and they showed why. And they could get up through our own atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They could orbit the Earth, but there was no way they could get beyond that, all right? But they said, "Oh, can we do something?" And they did. They made it up, you know. And that was it. I mean, they sent up a rocket, but let's face it: once the rocket goes up, you know, it's like fireworks. Once the rocket goes up, no one sees what happens to the rest of it, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, you don't see it. You know, so you can go up in a big cloud of smoke and you say, oh, look at that, woo, and, you know, and circle the Earth a couple of times and then come back down. Nobody would know. Yeah, it's like a crock of crap. It's so easy to manipulate that now that we know it is.
All right, so in 1965, it was the first commercial satellite was put in orbit. First commercial satellite.
Right. That's amazing, too. That's amazing.
Now they're talking about colonizing the moon, right?
Well, they could have done... You know, that's another question I've always asked. Why haven't they done that? Why have they only done these little shuttle things? And they never did another expedition to the moon, all right? After Apollo 13, and all of the problems they had with that, they never sent another astronaut to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious as to why, right?
Because that's the show that's being played by NASA, and it has been for years.
What's the show?
The show is how we went to the moon,
By now, after 40 years, you'd think the hell would be in we'd be in the center of the universe, don't you think?
Uh-huh. I know.
I mean, what the hell is this all about? They could have put a guy on a Mars ship or some ship or something, that's why I don't believe this space program is real.
All right, you want to click into the UFO UFO knowledge?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And understanding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like these crafts that that are showing up here are real, but I do believe some of those crafts are our own. And there's no way that I believe that, the only times we stepped foot on a moon is when we went up there with the Gemini and Apollo program.
I can't, if we have that ability, why would we not have any a colony up there? You think there'd be a laboratory built somehow? But no, I mean, where's the vision? Let's build a truck that goes up and down and up and down to a little space station. You know what I mean? It's like Toyville here. You know, we should be so far ahead of where we are. All right, dumping billions upon billions of dollars every year into a NASA program is just absolutely ridiculous, since we have nothing coming back.
Well, yes, we do, Leo. Yes, we do.
How do you
There's a lot of people who make a living working for NASA on the projects and the contracts that is released to that. So it does help people. But I think I've talked about this maybe a couple of years ago. That years ago, NASA released books of the Apollo flights and so forth to the public, of the pictures of the moon and so forth.
Yes.
And in these publications, there was a lot of things that they didn't realize were in those pictures. And if you took a telephoto lens and looked at some of these pictures, you can actually see things.
Yeah.
Now, once they realized, what they had there, they went and they pulled all these books back from the libraries. And these basically are reference materials.
Right.
And a colleague of mine was able to locate one or two books that, wasn't retrieved, if you'd want to call it that.
Right.
And what he did is he went through the books and took telephoto pictures of all the shots.
Right.
And when he got back, he was able to blow them up. And, there are geodesic domes and actually buildings on the moon. And on some reports, there was actually a B-52 on the ground. But you can actually see mining operation and tracks that led from one side to another. And it was through these photos that you've seen these.
Wow.
And
wow.
I think Richard Hoagland, years ago, he came out with a series of videos regarding some of those pictures that NASA was holding back, and actually shows some of these glass domes, that are miles in diameter that covered large portions of...
Oh, my God. Those are in those pictures that came back?
Well, yes. On some of them, yes. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things on the moon. Plus, we never see the backside. So there's supposedly a backside base on the moon. And I know years ago they talked about a firefight happened between aliens and some of the government people. And they talked about the Delcy fight. But I believe that that was some kind of a conflict that was going on the moon. And basically it's, over, not ownership, but rights for certain areas of the moon. I mean, there are independent pictures of astronomers taking pictures and watching movements of crafts on the moon or around the moon in its atmosphere.
Well, it's kind of like those huge receivers that they have out in the desert and certain places where they have these huge satellite disks, they look like dishes, and they're geared to, and they're sending out messages, all right, constantly out into outer space, and trying to catch some kind of a reply, trying to find hear something.
For the SETI program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know. I mean, have they ever found anything? The last I heard, they hadn't found anything. Nothing of significance, any messages being sent that they knew that sounded like messages.
No, but they got a whole pool of scientists working on that very thing, Leo.
Yeah.
And one of these days, they're going to release information on that to the public, I'm sure.
Well, you think it's going to be now, or it should be this in the next year or so, shouldn't it?
Well, it could be during this time. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if it's already taken place And right now, we're just waiting for it to catch up with us. You know, yeah, I
keep thinking of what Jim Maher said. He said that the that McNamara, before he died, he interviewed him when he was the Secretary of Defense.
Defense?
And he said that the Cold War was all over. He says that was just a, you know...
A front?
Yeah, it was just a front.
Mm-hmm.
He says the Cold War is done. Now we have to have... now it's the next thing is going to be terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be at war with terror. All
right.
And then he says, after that, it's going to be aliens. Right? Because we got it all planned. He says, it's all set up. He says,
yeah.
See, we got to keep people afraid of things in order to crank up the military and keep them in control. And get, you know.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm.
We have to keep fear out there, so we have to create these great fear things every you know 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he says that's what he has then. And he said alien. Now this was back about this time in 68, 69, I think. He said that he said that would be you know first it would be the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be terrorism. And then it would be aliens.
Yeah.
All right. So. He's right on so far. So aliens would be the next thing because people kind of don't believe in this terrorism crap anymore. They know it's politically, they know who's doing it, you know?
It's played itself out. But, you know, don't take a look at the alien contact as being all negative. And, you know, it can paint you a pretty nasty picture.
Oh, God.
But understand you're going to get all facets.
Yeah. No, but I do.
Really?
No, I agree with you. But I honestly believe that the terrorist thing is just about on its decline now. All right.
Yes.
And you know, nobody believes it anymore. They believe it's the United States. They believe it's the Israel, and a few other capitalistically charged countries. You know, have interest in keeping these wars going. You know what I mean? And keeping all this stuff, keeping the terrorist thing going, but while the bankers are becoming the greatest threat that the world has right now,
mm-hmm.
the banking industry. So
let's jump back to the moon if we can, Leo.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny with civilizations of antiquity; they talk about the moon, and you know there are so many stories that the Earth actually had a collision with the Earth. But at one time, it was, I believe, a moon or some parts of a planet that was in orbit between Mars and Jupiter called Tiamat.
George?
A planet called Tiamat, which was in orbit between Jupiter and Mars. And what happened is that there was this planet blew up or some kind of explosion on it. And parts of it went swinging toward our neck of the woods, and it collided with the Earth. And I don't know if part of its debris or part of a moon that was with it was drawn with it or dragged with it when it collided with the Earth. But our moon was an artificial satellite or asteroid that came outside of our orbit, you know, our immediate orbit.
Right.
And the other portions of debris from the planet Tiamat is part of the asteroid belt between Jupiter and Mars.
Right.
But the Anunnaki, supposedly from the 12th planet now, they used Mars as a way station, you know, in jumping out of the solar system, just like it would be a pre-launch planet going outside of our solar system. And the moon was always kept as an independent base. And, you know, it would be more feasible, I think, to look at the moon as being a launch place. But the moon has other properties connected with it.
Like what, George?
Well, I don't know. It's understanding the Earth. The Earth, I do believe, is a living entity or a living being.
I agree with you.
And, you know, its attachments to the moon are unique. And part of the evolution of, or the existence of consciousness is tied into that moon and the cycles of that moon. So if nothing else, it's like the birth of a child of the Earth, where it is attached to Earth and we are attached to it.
That's true. I can understand that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening now is the Earth is actually, or the moon is moving away from the Earth. I don't know what the figures are, but every year it's like a mile or something like that.
Does that have to do with gravity? Is that why?
Oh, I'm sure. But, you know, the internal structures of the Earth, I believe, are a little bit different than the moon. And they talk about the moon having a solid core. But you see, it doesn't revolve the way the Earth does.
Hmm.
We have a caller here on the line. I'll see if they want to join us. Good evening, 111. Good evening, caller. Can you hear us?
Good evening, caller. Can you hear us?
I guess not.
Well, maybe they'll end in a minute.
Yeah, well,
but we'll just continue talking. They might.
I just muted them for now. So,
seeing in 1965 was the time of our first commercial satellites and operations. You know, we could see movements connected with the moon at this point, and some of the emphasis right now in going to the moon could be, a rehash, but rebuilding some connection that we have with the moon.
The 40th anniversary, why didn't we have the 30th anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a big push. And it's just funny also that Walter Cronkite would die on the same, die at the same time.
Uh-huh.
He was the first journalist to talk about the moon, watch the moon landing or something, right? It's just interesting that these are all the things you're seeing from 1965 up until now, and the death basically of a Cronkite and the 40th anniversary of the moon landing.
Mm-hmm.
And the this would be, I don't know, I mean, you can look at a series of cycles of things.
This is the second cycle of the Renaissance. The second Renaissance.
I'm trying to think of what we're seeing now that would be culturally in this country that would be, that could be anywhere near as momentous, or have such a push as the Beatles did, that whole
musical
British
Renaissance,
during that period. What are we looking at now? And I don't know. I
can't identify it. Maybe we.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I mean, the rap situation doesn't is. I you know.
What do
I
you think,
I don't
George?
Think that's made that kind of significance.
Well, if nothing else, the 60s brought to mind that people were thinking for themselves, and their feelings or their thinking was coming from their feelings.
Right.
And it was connecting the heart, peace, love, man, you remember?
Right.
All to, reality or to life. And if nothing else, it was breaking away from this rigid the routines that we got, we were in with World War II, and
mm-hmm.
then with the 50s and the 60s, it was released, but it still was linear in nature. And it's through the heart that we're able to let down our hair and think from an emotional standpoint.
So that's basically where we have to be now. If that cycle was prevalent then, we'd be there now as well. We're repeating that cycle. So more people are hopefully thinking with their hearts as opposed to thinking with their other part.
Well, first of all, you had to learn that you had a heart to begin with,
uh-huh.
and that's what the 60s did. It showed us that, we have emotions and feelings,
right.
and incorporating it into our lifestyle is a different story.
Right.
And of course, you know, it's that illusionary state where tell us where we can't use the imagination, but we did, and it's incorporating it into our life. And, you know, you take a look at the political world and the economic world, you know, there's no emotions involved with that. But now it's come to the point where we've lost touch with our emotional state, that we don't know who we are. We're a programmed android. So it's going back now in seeing that, yes, we can think and live with our heart, but it's also using our heart to figure our next goal instead of thinking things through. We have to feel it through.
Mm-hmm.
And here I'm jumping, but if nothing else, this is the Renaissance, and it is part of the unity consciousness of connecting back to the whole instead of separating it through the polarity of thinking and of logic. That is dual in nature.
I wanted to just mention that there was a caller on earlier, and we tried to get you on there, but there was no response. If you'd like to call back, you're 1111111. That was your number. So if you'd like to call back, we'd be happy to talk to you.
Yeah, we tried to speak with you, but we didn't get a response.
So anytime, and also anybody who'd like to call, we have about 8 minutes remaining to the show. So if you'd like to call in, 646-915-9505 is the number. We'll be happy to put you on the air and talk to George. So, so where were we, George? I'm sorry I had to interrupt there. Oops. George, are you with us?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Talking, you know, it's moving, moving from our mental consciousness to an emotional consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what this whole period is all about. This day and night period we've experienced for the last three days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on the fifth night, we learned, we experienced the second half of the dual thinking process, the logic. And the sixth day is a time of joining them together coming from a mediocre point.
Now, have you seen any progress in the responding with the heart rather than the head in other than yourself with people around you?
What do you mean, Layla?
Well, what you were talking about is that we're moving from the cognitive part to the heart piece.
Yes, yes.
Are you seeing any change with people around you in that way?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, a family member could be pregnant, you know, it's not something that she has to tell somebody because they all know. And it's that conscious link that we have to other people. Being an empath, you know, I feel what you're thinking before you say anything. And that's what's happening. Everybody is tuning into one another and clicking in and experiencing that deja vu, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
But they know it's true. You know, they don't have to be told, but it's something they accept. And it's basically experiencing through your emotional body. So, you know, you can't your body has the ability, or I have the ability, to pick up what you're thinking before you express it. And it is part of that unity consciousness connection that we all have with one another.
Now, how is that? Is that both positive and negative, that ability?
Well, it's how you look at it, you know. You could also have feelings of Aunt Millie dying and knowing that, you know, she's going to die, or she's dying. And then hear that she did die, you know, and it's not something you'd want to think about. But it's tapping into the reality of her death. And knowing it without somebody having to tell you that and experiencing the emotions with it.
It's sort of like a sensing of something.
Well, yes, a sensing, huh? Yeah, it's like your second nature, your intuition. But it is that psychic ability, if you'd want to call it that, that we all have. It just so happens that this is not something you can turn on and off. I mean, psychics have been able to do that. But, you know, it's not something you can entirely turn off like a radio show. I mean, it's like once you experience something, you'll never go back and relate to it before the experience. And, you know, when if there's danger close by and you pick it up, or it's harmful to you, you will pick it up. You will experience it before you see it.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, that's what I'm seeing with people all over, you know, and it's more of what people emotionally say instead of what they're thinking.
Well, that's true, because they're not thinking at all, and a lot of what's happened. It's like Obama, he said he had to recalibrate his thoughts, his words.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody's got to recalibrate their I mean, when they speak from the heart, when they speak from the center, you know, it's you are emotional. You know what I mean? You can't help but be. And
well, it's part of our nature, Leo.
Yeah,
it really is.
Exactly. And we got to. I mean, until people can. I mean, we all can read. It's like I can read. If Lila's angry at me, I can read it from her emotions.
Well, it's also body language, too.
Or body language, yeah, I guess. But, no, I don't know. You can hide your body language and still be mad. Yeah. So, yeah, you know what I mean? You can alter your thing and not give off the... if you're sitting at a meeting with somebody and you don't agree with anything they're saying, now your body language, you could probably disguise your body language a bit so as not to be so open.
Openly
but you
negative.
Can't.
Yeah.
You
but,
can't, Leo.
What?
You can't. You can't hide your body language.
Well, you can if you're aware of it.
Yeah, but what are you going to be aware of?
Well, instead of doing what
frowning
folding
your arms in a non-receptive way.
You sit there like a corporate executive and keep your mouth in a permanent grin, you know, and nod a lot, you know, and that's basically what. What that is? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, I get in trouble because I think from my heart. I talk from my heart. And Lila's the same way, and you're the same way, and we're emotional people, and you know, that's whatever sets us off. That's really sets us off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we have listeners who listen to our show, and identify with that. Somewhat, or are interested in what we have to say, and I'm grateful for that. So,
When I listen to somebody, you know, I watch their face, of course, what they're saying, but I watch their eyes because the eyes give away everything, and it's the conscious thoughts that the eyes relate to.
Right.
Just like if somebody looks up to the right, it's something that they have control. On things to the left is where they follow a line, a linear note.
Right.
So if they're lying, they look more to the right, more to the right and up and down. And basically, what they're doing is they're emotionally manipulating their thought.
There's been a lot of studies on that. It's called neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
And they've done a lot of research on that particular subject.
We have 1 minute left, maybe about a minute left remaining. So anyone who wants to hear the rest of this program, it's 646-915-9505. Call now, or you can pick it up in the archives a little later. So, and thank you for listening. I want to thank you before we
thank you.
Lose our stream. Yeah, so anyway... George, what you're saying, I think, is right. Yeah.
I always watch the eyes. I always watch whoever I'm watching. I watch the movements on their eyes.
Well, I've been noticing Obama's eyes have been twitching to the right quite a bit on his latest. You know, so I have to keep an eye out for that. But I noticed his eyes have been like, you know,
jumping around
a lot, and especially going to the right.
So a quick flick to the left tells you exactly what's going on. They're lying.
A quick what?
Up to the left, right. Oh,
I
yeah.
To the right.
What's that?
I thought you said to the right.
That's when they're conniving.
Their eyes go to the left, they're lying. When their eyes go to the right, they're not lying.
They're being challenged. Challenging on the left and supportive on the right.
Okay.
But different places mean that you're thinking about what you're going to say. Or
that's right, right.
Seeing something
yeah.
from a memory.
Yeah.
I did a lot of study in that.
Oh, okay.
I've forgotten most of it.
Get a master's in that.
There you go.
Not in linguistic programming. I had some courses in it many, many years ago, and I'm sure it's more refined now than it was then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was new when I was taking my master's program, and that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting field.
Uh-huh. Well, we're just locked into it because we are locked into this reality. And
mm-hmm.
that reality is locked into our body, to how we're made and how it functions. And we can't help it. It just so happens. So we're taking something that is imaginary and reverting it or converting it to a physical movement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what you got to do is see those movements for what they are and what's motivated them.
Yeah.
But whatever. I can only say that in 65... a lot of things were put in motion, and a lot of things did happen. I just pray, I do pray for peace, and I do hope that if nothing else, we've learned from our mistakes, but instead of going back and trying to make that better, we have to just put it aside and think new ways of connecting, and different ways. And there are options out there available to us, but all we have to do is reach out and grab them. But we got to reach out.
I agree with you.
Well, and I hope we do.
Yeah.
Well, I think we will. I think this goes beyond a hope because, if nothing else, destiny has put this in motion, and we have no alternative but to complete this novelty, if you'd want to call it that, for what it is. And
mm-hmm.
this novelty is running down, and we'll see what happens in 2012.
All right.
Well, that'll come in.
Well, we'll be here.
We'll be here.
We'll be here. If everybody's there, we'll be here. And I want to thank you, George, for being on tonight and sharing your wealth of information. And we, as we appreciate it every week. So.
Well, it's my pleasure. It really is. I enjoy talking with you folks and even the audience. And you know, I'm having a lot of fun with this Mayan calendar. But nothing. I'm learning. Just as much as you are and the listeners do, because I'm no expert with this stuff, that's for sure.
But at least we know where we're better off than the guy who knows nothing about it. So,
yeah.
You know, for that guy who knows nothing about it, you might have learned something tonight. So that's the way we look at it.
There
hopefully somebody learned something tonight.
Well, I hope everyone has a good weekend, and we thank you very much for joining us this week, George.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, and I'll see you next week, folks.
Okay.
Good night.
I'll be with you.
And good night, folks. Thanks for listening.
And remember, it's 1965, so party like it's 1965, I guess. And, okay. Well, have a pleasant evening. Good night.